Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So last week, we began this series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we looked at the greatest of those gifts, the Holy Spirit who gives us his very self. We noted that all the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives are for the common good. In other words, the Holy Spirit gives us, or gives and gives God's people gifts in order to bless his church. These gifts aren't some badge of authority. They don't give us the ability to say, hey, look at me. Rather, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts so that we can be effective as the body of Christ and glorify him until Christ returns in glory. And we saw that these gifts are also supernatural, but also practical. We're not born with them like certain talents we may have. They're supernatural because they come from outside of us, outside of our natural state of being. And they're practical because we are to use them for God's mission of bringing others into a relationship with Jesus. As we talked last week, we talked about how the Holy Spirit needs to come to us with himself, because the first supernatural thing we need is to be reborn. And he does that by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. He did this because, not because we somehow earned or deserved it, but because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. He made us alive together with Christ. For it's by grace you have been saved. The Spirit comes to us and gives us the faith to believe, the ability to believe that Jesus Christ is the true God and the only Savior of humanity. And that was necessary because no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He comes. He comes and he gives us salvation from our greatest threats, sin, death, and the devil. He comes with the forgiveness of sins earned for us by Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And the Holy Spirit comes and gives us eternal life. What a blessing it is to stand at the grave of a loved one who's died in the faith and be able to say, I'm going to see him again. And we know that because it's Jesus who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Our end isn't to just live on in the memories of those who knew and loved us. We have a place waiting for us, a place prepared for us by Jesus, who said, let not your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to be with me, that you may be where I am also. The change that took place when we came to faith through word and sacrament makes us completely new. Paul talks about that. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. At the time of the creation, God spoke all things into existence. But it was chaos. It was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit was hovering over the darkness. So he set it all in order. He made it to be what it was meant to be. And it's the same for us. Just as the Spirit of God hovered over the waters at the time of creation, the creation of all things, he comes to us. He comes to us to be with us and to take up residence within us. When he came to you to bring faith into your life, you were also in chaos. You're not what you were intended to be, because you were destined to be separated from God for all eternity. But the Holy Spirit came to remake you, to restore you, to be the person God intended you to be from all eternity. That passage from 2 Corinthians continues, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciled means to put to rights, to be brought back together, to be patched up. We, have been reunited, reconciled with God through the work of Christ. And in Christ, we have become friends, we've become loved ones, in fact, we've become family with God and with one another. Now, Paul says that he's also entrusted us with that ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We make God's appeal. God makes his appeal through us. We are now God's envoys, his spokesmen, making God's plea to others so that they too might become his children. That's the life that God has given us to live. That's what the church is to be all about. This is the life, a life which reflects God's mercy and grace, faith and forgiveness. In Matthew 12, the people were so amazed at Jesus that they asked, "Can this be the Son of David?" And when the religious leaders heard this, they accused Jesus of being in league with the devil. So Jesus said to them, "The tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." The tree is known by its fruit. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's true for us as well. That's what Lynette was talking about when she was talking about the fruit of the Spirit. That fruit, as Paul writes, is the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit that the Spirit grows in us. But have you ever asked the question, why these? Why these 9 qualities? You know, it isn't hard to find all kinds of things written about this verse and this fruit. You can find sermon after sermon and Bible study after Bible study that goes in depth, defining each of these qualities, and how you're to use them. But what do they all have in common? Well, first of all, these are all qualities that are natural to God's nature and not so much to ours. Now, to an extent, these qualities exist even in non-Christians. You don't have to be a Christian to have patience or love. But in those who aren't born of the Spirit, these qualities are twisted and, in general, centered only on the self. But in us, God's children, the Holy Spirit produces these gifts, these fruits, in keeping with the way God intended. So the things that I mentioned earlier at the beginning of this sermon, faith, salvation, forgiveness, eternal life, these are all things that the Holy Spirit has given to us. But you either have them or you don't. You can't get more salvation. You're either saved or you're not. And you can't get more forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven or they're not. And yes, even those you haven't committed yet. Christ died for those too. You can't get more eternal life. You can't get more faith. You either believe in Jesus or you can't. Now, to say you can't have more faith seems a little strange, because we talk about having more faith. We often think of faith as the trust or confidence in the God who's revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But trust and confidence, I believe, flow out of faith. They aren't faith itself. You can't trust or be confident in God without the ability first to believe in him. And that's what the Holy Spirit works in you through water and the Word, through baptism, and God's voice in Scripture. So I would say that trust and confidence are actually more related to the fruit which the Spirit grows in us after we come to faith. And that fruit, love, joy, peace, etc., it's important to the building and strengthening of relationships. Our relationship with God, with one another, and with those who don't yet know Jesus. You see, that's the other thing that binds all nine of these qualities together. It's all about relationships. When Paul speaks of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians there, he does so in the context of a conflict that these Christians were having. Just a few verses before listing the fruit of the Spirit, Paul writes, "You, Galatians, you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." The relationships in Galatia were broken. The devil was hard at work, stirring up discord, tension, and opposition. And he was using people who claimed to be Christian to do it. So Paul reminds them that the seeds these people are sowing were in direct opposition to what God's Spirit gives. The fruit of the Spirit builds up and strengthens relationships. It doesn't tear it down. For instance, love. Love builds our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is it's like a marriage. The more two people live together, the longer two people live together and demonstrate that they're true to their promises, that they're committed to one another, the more their trust and confidence grows as they learn that the other one isn't just selfishly taking all that they can, but is giving as well. And in the same way, the more we discover truly how much God loves us, how much God willingly gave that we might be His, how much He wants what's best for us, the more we know that, the more trust and confidence in Him we have. And that takes time. And that's why Paul speaks of these things as fruit. Fruit grows, it matures, it ripens. And the key to that is that the branch on which the fruit grows remains connected to the vine. Once a branch is detached from the vine, the fruit withers, it rots away, and the branch can never produce fruit in keeping with the vine again. And that's why we need to remain connected to the vine, connected to Christ through His word and sacrament. We need that so our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ can grow and deepen. You see, it's here in Christ's body, in the church, that the fruit of the Spirit both receive what it needs to remain healthy and grow stronger as we learn what it means to live and work together in love and joy and peace. God's church is a bit of a training ground, if you will. We're to grow closer and build community with one another so that we can then go out and serve others. And He uses that fruit to draw others who don't know Him into a saving relationship with Him. As we love others with no strings attached, as we show others the joy that a relationship with God gives, as we live with a peace that comes from knowing that our God promises to take care of all of our needs, in fact, has already taken care of our greatest needs through His Son, as we do that, others will be drawn to it and want to have what we have as well. I mean, think about it. Wouldn't you like to have a friend who is loving and joyful, at peace, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, practicing self-control, that is, one who can truly enjoy the good things of this world without letting those things control them? Wouldn't that be the kind of friend you'd like to have around? And you do have that kind of a friend. His name is Jesus. See, Jesus exhibited all these qualities, and that's what drew people to Him. That's why He could be religious and spiritual, but still be invited to their parties and to their banquets. Why people wanted to be around Him. But it sounds really hard to be that kind of a person. To be loving and to be patient and to be joyful. all the time. And it is hard. In fact, Jesus was the only one who could do it perfectly and consistently. But God has given you His Spirit. And His Spirit is working even now to bring that same fruit to bear in your life. No, it won't be as much as Jesus. He was a one-off, but enough to grow you into more of a person that God knows you are to be. And that happens little by little. The fruit of the Spirit will then become more and more evident to those around you. And as it does, others are going to see it. They're going to know that there's something different about us Christians. We walk through life with more confidence and hope. We experience the troubles of life, and yet we're not led to despair. And even in the face of death, we're able to be at peace. We grieve, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope. See, that's the life that we're given to live. That's the life we're given to share with others, given to show those around us, both here and in and wherever God may lead us. And that's all to His glory and to our blessing. Amen.